too.
Not your friend. That's the problem.
What's that?
You don't want to be friends.
Did you know you were a good friend with
her? Yeah, I know. I mean, did you sign something or?
He introduces me in various ways.
When you've said something bad about him, you're a good friend.
Keep your enemies close. He tried.
You know, I listened to one from 2010 today.
Yeah.
December 4th, 2010. Mm. That was very clear.
Really?
Yeah. It's gotten worse.
Yeah, it's gone downhill.
Maybe because you can't remember, like, what it's like to be a pathetic human anymore. I don't know.
Could be that, yeah. The bridge is gone.
Yeah.
I listened to one today, and he kind of got a little political rant, and I thought... That's interesting.
Right.
Well, like, not the government. The government's not supposed to like make laws about gun control. The government's supposed to do something with money or something.
You're good.
Yeah, like Iceland. Sell the bank.
Get the money.
Maybe he's just giving up because he's been saying the same thing since 2010, and it's like.
This was from 13.
Even if it was very clear, where has it gotten anymore?
Yeah.
Coming to you, his good friend.
I think it's unclear, but just that, like, it's everything's so contradictory that it's... Maybe I shouldn't even, like, try to analyze things or get confused. Why bother? You know? Maybe... It's not as contradictory as it is. I'm concrete.
No, good luck with that.
I know. There's nothing you do for that.
Yeah. No remedy for that.
I heard something that was said that kind of landed, and it was like, you know, 99% of all that we really believe or think is true isn't.
Only 99%?
99. How about 100? Yeah.
Man.
I don't know where that
1%
is coming from.
I'd really like to get my hands on that.
Hanging on.
On that 1%. Maybe the 1% is like, I think I have to use the loo.
Yeah. Maybe, but.
Yeah.
Not really. Because
that's about it.
Yeah. Right. Lots of things I can't think can still pee. Seemingly.
Well. It might be useful in this glorious endeavor to, first withdraw from belief, withdraw from superstitions, withdraw from everything that's been suggested by everybody. And you can say start fresh with your so-called present experience. Now your attention is renewed, right? You can tune, listen, see, feel. Consider whatever the call it the baseline is of what we refer to as present experience. Now, it doesn't mean you have to find anything. It doesn't mean you have to have an answer or solve a question or a puzzle, spiritual or otherwise. Just start here, not being sure or certain or fond of anything, and see what that feels like. Present availability, present curiosity. That's all. No object. No question even. Just, oh. Hi, hello. What the fuck is this? Now, I think it's safe to say that all the gurus and all the aspirants have to, let's use the word start, at this same so-called place. Where else can you begin? Then, right about here, right about now, completely refreshed from the influence of any knowledge whatsoever. Ta-da! And that's it. Now, anything that shows up, and obviously it appears that a lot shows up. Whatever shows up to rattle your cage, or hi, or present to you a conundrum, or present to you some kind of insufficiency. Whatever shows up is a hallucinatory. What else could it be? It's just an implication. It's an impulse. Whether it's a thought or a feeling or a memory or even a spiritual experience. The fuck is it? It's an impulse field of some kind. And these impulse fields are on tap. You could say nonstop. Which means you're capable of imagining anything about yourself, about presence, about reality, were there any, your past, your present, your future, how it's going, how it's going to go better if you have anything to do about it, or how it's going to go worse if you start sliding, failing somehow. Your health matters to you. Your stuff matters to you. Your relationships matter to you. These are all accoutrements of self. Accoutrements that define just how important and vital and valuable you must be to the world at large, or to the people that love or don't care so much about you. And these are all impositions. Songs of the humpback self. Songs of myself.
It also just seems to be like a way that this does to keep this feeling that it's patterned, which, you know, feels more comfortable for itself, or just enjoys it, I don't know, but compared to patternless, which is...
Yeah. The whole yoga is weaning oneself from the hysteria of pattern.
Imaginary pattern.
And becoming sanguine of patternlessness.
Somehow. Subtly, I think I still thought that there was, like, energetic patterns.
Oh, yeah?
You know what I mean? You can trick yourself into, like, all this weird, like, there were energetic patterns, but they, like, I couldn't, like, they weren't, mine couldn't grasp them, but they were still, like, there were still patterns. It's like, no.
Yeah?
There's no patterns at all. It's all...
Well, this is why it's so confusing, the discovery is, oh, fuck, there's no patterns at all.
No patterns.
But that discovery is made within the midst of unceasing patterns.
Yeah, right. They all just point back to no patterns.
Yeah. You're fucked.
But there's no
pattern overload.
Well, you could say all the time it's pattern overload, and we're just doing some kind of improvisational pattern reduction, you know, to get through the day. Right. Otherwise, you know, it's the fainting goat.
The pattern of least common denominator.
Yeah, right. So this is the conundrum that you have to face. Is that in the midst of unceasing, unyielding, demanding pattern, and the empathy of pattern recognition, which suggests self, there's no pattern at all. Now, you don't end up anywhere. There's no place to end up. Reality, not that there is any, or the urgency of creation leaves you where? Nowhere. It's just creation never becomes anything. It can't. Which is a little strange, which we think, no, the Big Bang meant that creation took nothing at all and made this fucking shit. But it didn't. Because this is only implied. Now, it's kind of devastating in a good way to consider that, that creation doesn't create anything. Which leaves you where exactly? It's pretty weird.
In a quandary.
Yeah, in a quandary.
And in real time.
With a capital Q. It sounds like ouch. Yeah. I mean, don't we mess around in the ways that we do with, you know, secular activities and so-called spiritual activities in hopes that there'll be some kind of deliverable. I will get this, understand this, be transmuted by this, and fear, and sorrow, and grief, and selfishness and self-interest. See things more clearly, if not exotically. Good luck. Since this never actually becomes anything, well, it's not anything right now. So if you have the slightest interest in a deliverable that could benefit you somehow, you can only find one by making it up. You can only find one through, some kind of heresy. And then you become somehow relevant to other human beings because you can fix their blockages, you can help them with their emotional shit, you can assist them with, you know, their abundance issues, maybe you can have intercourse with them if it's consenting. That's a win-win. If it's not consenting, oh well.
Hopefully you're on the winning side.
Hopefully you're on the winning side of that equation. That's right.
Unless you're into the other version of it.
Unless you're into the other version. Then that's a win, too. So, you got to put down your shields. Turn the phasers off. Not just to stun, but really turn them off. Disarm the photon torpedoes and just float out there in Romulan space and see what comes for you. So pattern recognition, which is nonstop, will not leave you alone. Maybe at death, I don't know. We'll have to talk to Selig and see if there's give us some insight from the other side about that shit. But pattern recognition and its impulse field, which is the act of creation. You know.
Spinning other patterns out of the combined patterns.
Yeah, you can see that. Yeah, you can see that it's a fractal wonderland of pattern implication, which is, you know, nonlinear. You could say multivalent or multidimensional, because patterns and pattern recognition and pattern impulse in the universes that patterns imply have no practical limitation. I mean, we could even borrow from the, you know, biologic field, or the Hubble deep field, and see that, you know, pattern recognition's gone wild, kind of like girls on spring break. Yeah. So you see, we try to navigate or negotiate or set a course for Alpha Centauri within the context of the hallucination of our life. In other words, we've taken purchase or delivery of the sonorous nature of pattern and pattern recognition and implication, and we've turned that into, oh, I was born. Dude, you weren't. So our imagination becomes consumed by humanocentric story.
That's a centric word I've never heard before. That's a good one.
Humanocentric, yeah. Yeah, I'm not talking about major appliances.
So they're included in this.
So those are included, yeah. Barked the baggage, yeah.
The people who are void-centric are just really
around drugs. Void-centric, very strange, yeah. Some of my best friends are void-centric. But this doesn't mean that, you know, things in your so-called life are going to get better, easier, resolve any differently, become more humorous, or even easier to manage, or nothing. I mean, consciousness blows. Mm-hmm. And yet, we love it.
Is it the consciousness, or is it the content of it that blows?
Well, pick on whatever you like. You know?
I don't think it's the content, because the content sometimes is really not so bad.
Yeah. If the content's, you know, throwing a fury at you, then the content blows. If the content is chill, but you're still existentially restless, well, then the consciousness blows.
Yeah.
So, you know.
We need a double blind study.
No, that's what we've got. Triple blind.
It's extra blind.
We've got an extra blind script.
Blind.
Where it's all placebo, nothing is true. And no one actually heals. Everyone just dies. So the study's ongoing.
Yeah, I think we are the experiment.
Yeah, pretty much. So fixity, the sense of fixity, is turns out to be this present existential conundrum. The pressure of present experience. What to do about it. Or what to do with myself in its midst. Right?
Yeah, the whole existential thing.
The whole existential thing. Yeah. Yeah. So some folks would like to think that something like enlightenment turns out to be a reliable amelioration of the whole existential thing, but at a superficial level. And a lot of people have so-called experiences where, for a time, maybe even for a long time, whatever that means, they are, their existential thing is somehow, you know, ameliorated or made sanguine or comfortable for them somehow. So they go out and teach something, or they ask someone to teach. And I mean, the pinnacle of your human experience turns out to be being interviewed by Rick Archer. If you haven't been interviewed by Rick Archer, you know, go back to the drawing board. Call your guru and get your money back.
It's a sorry state of affairs.
It is a pretty sorry state of affairs. That's right.
Who is Rick Archer?
It's best you don't know.
Just forget about him.
Don't start. Just leave your popcorn all over the floor. Don't ask about the McNays either.
Well, the good news is I will be joining you guys tomorrow night.
You got in?
I got in.
Oh, for the weekend?
Going to be fireworks.
I was permitted to be in for the weekend, but I chose just to be in for tomorrow night.
Wow. He didn't open up any seats when I asked him to. You must have some kind of like...
What, for Saturday? You're going tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow, yeah. I asked him if there were more seats for Friday so other people could come and enjoy Gary Weber just for Friday.
Apparently, I got in under the wire.
Someone had just canceled, maybe. Yeah. I see. All right. Well, there you go.
You guys have that profound connection.
Yeah. Right.
Well, it does seem, though, that the content so easily can be acrimonious.
Yes.
Because it's not vibing in the same way you're vibing.
Yes. Okay, so, yes, of course. Let's just notch it back. Mm-hmm. The same way, to use your words, you're vibing.
Yeah.
Let's go to the you're.
Yeah.
You see?
Oh, there you go.
Right? I mean, isn't the content an after the fact of some kind of inhabitation that I would refer to as I, me, my, right? And if I was accusing you of it, I would say you are.
Presumably, yeah.
Yeah.
But can you let go of the I, me, my without, and
hang on,
still be content?
Too quick. So we appreciate the content is acrimonious.
Yeah.
So we notch it back and we're like, fuck the content.
Yeah.
Because the content has to first be appearing to some sense of duration or durability of self, right? As born, as being, as maybe I'll get out of bed today at some
point.
So
there may be content, but it doesn't land.
Well, see, the content and the disquietude that may accompany the content is superficial. Yeah. So if we become content hunters, you know, what's that show with that big heavy guy, Dog? Who does he go hunting for?
Bounty
hunter. See, we become a bounty hunter for content. You know, I'm going to lock you up. You know, content, it's too fast, right? It's gotcha. You can't really do anything with content. Because, I mean, that's a whack-a-mole, right? Oh, yeah, I got that. Whoa! You know, you're done. Even if you have three hammers. Mm-hmm. Even if you're Kali and you've got, you know, 12 arms, 12 hammers, whack-a-mole is going to take you down. So the content, as acrimonious or as pleasurable, right, and ecstatic as it can be, is not your destination, and is not the deliverable, and is not the problem. Uh-huh. But most spiritual teachers, the ones that make money anyway, convince you that they're going to assist you with your content, which may include the beliefs that you bring to the table in how you negotiate with content. But it's very, very rare that the so-called, call them a teacher or whatever, invites you to take a notch or two back and go to the root of the acrimonious display, which is, you tell me. Right? Yeah. I mean, Nirsagadatta was wonderful in that way, you know, provocative and profound, and took the whole, you know, Dharma to that next notch that Krishnamurti could not get to, which was, I mean, in his own experience, of course, I imagine Krishnamurti had no problem with it, but in his oratory over 50 plus years, it was difficult for him to emphasize, take a step back. The Grateful Dead do that at most concerts. They play that game, everyone take a step back, so that people in the front don't get crushed. Yeah, so take a step back, and before the content starts becoming a problem for you, tell me what this is.
I was listening to the Gary Weber on one of his things.
Uh-huh.
And if I understood him correctly, what he was saying was that at some point, and he's giving credit, he seemed to be giving credit to certain things, but
yeah,
at some point he said, for the most part, he dropped thought. So he's just been sort of like existing, and we've all sort of had moments or days or a couple hours or something of maybe this kind of experience where he had like thoughts just were there. He was sort of in the void, I guess, or in the non, for lack of a better word, like not in thought.
Yeah.
And
right.
His experience was when he had to interact with his world.
Yes.
Or his illusion.
That's right.
World, whatever.
The muggle scurrying about at his feet.
Mm-hmm. When he had to react with people and things in his environment.
Yes.
He was coming from sort of like a tabula rasa place. And,
right.
And so he could just, like he seemed to, he described his experience as being in the moment, so he was responding to things in the moment,
yeah.
And it was like something else was taking over, and it like things were getting done better. His relationships were better.
Love, yeah. You know. Let me get out my fiddle. Go ahead.
Okay.
Life's going my way. Yeah.
I mean,
The problem is this, that I don't have any quarrel with, you know, Gary or the wonderful things that happened to him in his life, but I would hope at some point you get beyond drawing any attention to how smoothly or unsmoothly things are going for you, because you've lucked out by being free from thought and then functioning, you know, as a tabula rasa. I mean, yeah, okay, that's great. I'm glad to hear it. But you see, then what happens is the so-called student thinks that what Gary's saying is true, or that perhaps it can be replicated somehow. And then the student goes in search of no thought, because the way Gary's living, or the way he's portraying the way he's living, sounds a lot better than the way I live, which is, you know, self-deprecating heresy pretty much 24/7. So yeah, everything functions that way. The way Gary's functioning is the way you're functioning. Everything is functioning that way. This is doing itself. And actually it's doing itself as smoothly as it could possibly, which includes San Bernardino and Planned Parenthood and every other fucking thing that these, you know, that makes us crazy.
Well, he said, at one point he said in this little short thing that I listened to, he said that he had no compassion.
Compassion?
Yeah. It was like the... In other words, what I think he was alluding to was that it wasn't like, oh, you know, sort of the opposite, I guess, of...
Well, it's maybe. It's a play on Buddhist misunderstanding, because compassion is seen as an accoutrement of self, which is an enviable or valuable destination, so that you can behave, let's say, toward yourself and your own crappy vicissitudes and so-called others in a way that, you know, makes things smooth. So from that point of view, he's not mistaken. He has no compassion, because he's not concerned with self, either his own or anybody else's. So compassion, as it's generally understood, becomes moot, discardable. The way compassion is understood in the West, which is a bastardization of bodhicitta, means, you know, what? Acts, sense of empathy. Fuck that. I mean, who gives a fuck? The non-bastardization of bodhicitta is this. Just as it is.
You know, I mean, if you're doing an act of compassion, it's really self-serving in some sense, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Or if you're doing the opposite, you're acting, you know, mean.
Well, see, this is the problem with Gary's emphases. The problem is that you get jammed back into the loop of behavioral relevancy. Oh, I was this way then, but I'm this way now. And I have these qualities, but not these qualities and not these qualities. And if you look carefully at me, because I'm so happy to share it with you, my life's better than yours. But don't worry, as soon as you take my program and stop having thoughts, your life's going to be good too.
I mean, that's
like the hook. That's the hook from all of these people. They pretend to give you a non-dual implication, but the relevance of that non-dual implication goes back to the myth of self. And becomes some kind of, you know, behavioral adventure. Transhuman is trans-fucking-human. And that's what this is. It's transhuman.
But from my vantage point right now,
yeah.
I can only say that...
Well, that's good. There is nothing to say. From your vantage point right now, you can't say shit, and you're not alone. Nobody can.
In a way, that's exactly true.
Yeah.
In a way, that's 100% true.
That's enough.
Right, and that's kind of the point, but, like, maybe that is just the point.
Maybe. Well, that's the discovery.
Well, you know, I get the impression that there's some of these folks that come on and that really are kind of stunning in the beginning when you first hear them.
Stunning is good.
You know, Eckhart Tolle certainly comes to mind.
Yeah.
Now, Gary Weber, it seems like they always have somebody else to, as like, translator or something. Not so much Eckhart, but he has an organization that does that. But for Gary, there's this dude that seems to always be talking to him, you know, when you go to his website and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Bowen,
okay, right.
And it's like, man.
He's the fluffer.
Yeah, he's the fluffer. You got it. It's like, I don't want to think the fluffer.
No, of course not.
It's very annoying, I think.
What about fluffer?
Yeah, she's back.
Well, I brought her back.
She's back. Fluffer. Fluffer and Nutter. It's very annoying.
Yeah. I mean, I can hardly even judge what the deal is. I mean, it gets very academic. And
well, let's forget about Gary Weber because he's not important.
Yeah.
Not now, sure. Not ever.
That's,
yeah.
Just,
go back to your own... the authenticity that you can call upon in your own present experience. That's more fun.
Licorice, I think. Do you smell it or something?
Yeah, maybe I'll take your used tea bag.
Okay. Yeah, take it.
Licorice water.
Yeah. Help yourself.
You're so easily distracted.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
If I can't get enlightenment through you, at least I can use your tea.
I can use your tea bag.
May I use your tea bag?
No one like me that. Popcorn, you kind of chewed up, but not really.
Yeah. You have some spare popcorn, perhaps? Some kernels you haven't yet swallowed?
I had a little moment today. I was finishing yoga, and I used this blanket that it's a what do you call it when people make them homemade?
Afghan.
Crochet. Well, it's embroidered. It's like, it's an embroidered comforter kind of thing.
The cat on it.
No.
Oh.
It's got squares upon squares, like lots of squares, and it's from Dave's family from way back when.
Oh, all right.
And it's probably got, you know, hundreds of names on it, all carefully needle pointed in.
Wow.
And it's probably...
It's an ancestral...
He's up like 150 years old, and I'm like sitting there with this thing on me, and I realize it's kind of like a graveyard in my life. There wasn't a name on that thing. A single person that was still alive, guaranteed.
Maybe you want to give that blanket away.
I'm looking at it
before they embroider your name.
Really interesting remark, you know, like every name on that thing, every person behind the name is dead.
Nice.
It's like, it sort of stepped me back a little bit.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And this is going to come and go, and we'll be dust and gone.
That's what they're saying.
Not like we don't know, but it's an interesting reminder.
Maybe we should make some sort of Declaration of Independence and we'll sign it.
Declaration of
Independence. Oh, like a new one?
Or something less.
It's like the... I mean, it is an interesting that, like, the Carlos Castaneda thing is the constant, there's that constant theme of, like, human beings think they're immortal. They just kind of go about like they have forever.
Yeah.
And the warrior path is kind of like, no, you just have, there is no, you know. But I feel like that's also more like talking about the death of yourself than of the self.
Well.
Than...
Here's the constant
physical death.
The constant invitation, which is, you know, never leaves you. Is this call it starting place? You see what thought does, what distraction does. It makes you think you've left the starting place. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the constant bringing, that is the death. It's like bringing it back to this and seeing that there was no birth. There is no, you know what I mean? That is the kind of constant.
Now, the recognition of this, having no genesis, no beginning, no deliverable, completely refreshes awareness to be content-free. Not just content-free. It refreshes awareness so that it's relaxed from the imposition of I. That's what you have. You have this. The I has not gotten a hold of your throat, and content is all Teflon. Now there's no becoming.
Well, you're not trying to hold on to the content.
No. You have no clause. You see, our psychiatric dilemma is we invest in the presentation of content. Self is assigned to it, which is a simultaneity. It's not this happens, then that happens. It's really a bursting forth. No. So here we are, if we're anywhere. Attention is irrefutable. Presence. Attention, awareness, curiosity, feeling is irrefutable. But it doesn't convey anything. Not agency, not I, and no content. Even to have a couple seconds of it, an effortless gift of, call it inner quietude or inner silence. No more tangle, no more entanglement.
I think it's there a whole lot more than we know.
Could be the only thing that is. So maybe it is there a lot more than we know.
Well, by inner quietude, you don't mean thoughts stopping or anything.
No.
Even the conflict doesn't necessarily stop. It's just like that you just something doesn't pay as much attention to it or something. It's not, or it's not, none of it's an issue. It's just like whatever. It doesn't mean anything.
Attention is not reified. It's not my attention. And it's not attending to anything.
Yeah, you don't give a shit unless it has something to do with you. That's what's funny. I was just like cascading fractal light implication, whatever.
Right.
It can be fascinating, but you don't really care that much.
Well, see, this is renunciation. Renunciation is not about the color of your clothing or whether you're fucking or not. Or whether you're touching money or anything, or that you, or whether you own anything or not, it has nothing to do with that. Renunciation is this right here, having nothing to do with whatever appears in it.
It's strange that that feels so good, but it's a different kind of, you know, it's very weird. It doesn't necessarily look ecstatic.
No.
Because it just is like...
Yeah, no. It can, I mean, it can look ecstatic if you, for whatever karmic reason,
yeah.
are moving through a, you know, a kundalini
sure.
yogic field.
But it doesn't...
It can look really ecstatic. Yeah. But it doesn't have to.
Somehow going straight to letting go of the ownership or the authorship of the I mean I.
Yeah.
Without somehow letting the content go. I mean, it's a wave, it seems to me. You know, the content, you have, it seems to me that the content has to be seen in a blank way, you know.
There's disinterest.
Before.
Yeah, but even the I mean my doesn't necessarily, I can walk around claiming shit as much, it doesn't matter. Because the disinterest is more prominent than.
Well, it's a degree thing, is what you're saying. It's a matter of degree.
It's not like, you know, you don't take out the garbage if you're asked, if you're disinterested or, you know, ignoring it.
No, I mean, it could be the best part of your day.
Yeah.
We're not talking about recalcitrance or ambivalence or, you know,
disassociation
or task agreeability. Take out the garbage.
Claiming things or anything.
Rightio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I stole my sweater and I want it.
And,
don't touch it.
Listening to those people that.
No. Don't listen to those people. Start here.
To go back to.
Those people can't fucking help you.
Back to the claiming, you know.
Yeah.
As far as practice goes, and I know there's this notion that there's no need to do anything. But it's like to.
But jump, there's no need not to.
But there's. Yeah. And to jump a phase or a level or.
There are no phases. There's no levels.
Valence, that's the word.
Mm-hmm. Electron orbit, yeah.
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 Then there's.
Yeah, then there's
something that may trigger that. Who knows? And it seems to me that a triggering can be a practice where you actually come to terms and have a sense about just letting it all go. Just letting it go as a practice. Not necessarily
too much pressure,
lack of ownership, but just letting it go. And then pretty soon, it's quite obvious. But there's no ownership, you know. And then it starts to play. But it seems to me that in talking about it sometimes, when I hear these things like lack of ownership or personalization of things, that almost seems like a secondary thing.
Everything's secondary. Everything is secondary because nothing's happening right now. Anything you do with or anything you do about anything is secondary. It's not primary because it's appearing in a field of hallucination, of pattern imposition.
The Matrix.
Yes.
There's guys.
There's guys. What was it called? Disposition.
Yes.
Or nothing. That drops all of that stuff. And I guess
there's not.
I'm sort of saying that's the null set of nothing, of something.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, if you start out with a piece of construction paper and a few crayons, you know, that makes some sense. But put your crayons down. Share your crayons.
Give them away.
Give your crayons away.
And your teabag.
And share your teabag. And half-eaten popcorn is welcome in this circle. Don't ask me why.
We're like birds. We're just like.
Yeah. I mean, these metaphors are all, you know, they're all lovely. They're all cogent. You know, they weave a certain kind of tapestry that sometimes is satisfying and sometimes is not satisfying. But you can see that it's, you know, it's appearing as an effulgence.
But it can be destructive. And that's a wonderful thing.
Yes, okay. Yes, sure. Right.
I mean, if you see.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the key that unlocks certain things and they sort of fall away, and then pretty soon.
That's right.
There's not much left.
How about now? not much left. Like,
hey, I'm a tough case.
I know, you're a tough case. That's right. That's why the new Night Sky Sangha t-shirts also all say, help Jamie.
Support Spartans.
We've all taken a Mahayana vow. We promise not to get enlightened until you do. So would you mind hurrying?
For yourself.
So just can you kind of like, you know, hurry it up, Jamie? You're keeping us all down.
I just picture of Jamie and then on the back it says pattern junkie.
I'm no. Right at that adventure.
Pattern junkie.
So walk it back again, you see. Rather than go to some kind of metaphoric, you know, field, just one small baby step back. Presence doesn't require an explanation. It doesn't actually do anything. So there's no point in trying to figure out what happens if this happens or what happens if this doesn't happen. There's not much point to it.
Sometimes I just want to bang my head against the wall and stop thinking!
Sometimes you should, maybe. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, no, of course. Thinking is very painful.
Not that it's the thoughts, I mean, sometimes they are, but most of the times it's just blah, 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 blah. You know, it's just the thought.
Yeah.
If you want to, like...
Well, that's why you go back.
La, 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 la.
Take a step back. Take another step back. Notch it back. Take a baby step. Start fresh. Just start fresh. See if you can. See if you can start fresh. That your present experience is more than sufficient to begin anew. Nothing has happened to you before this moment. Nothing binds you. You may have all kinds of so-called obligations in the world that you're happy to attend to or you despise. But so what? Just start fresh. That's the yoga. Always start fresh. Feel yourself unfettered. Feel yourself, you could say, completely dignified by nothing at all. Presence or absence of thoughts is not important. And it may be that Gary Weber is just choosing a certain kind of path of description that I would like to say is a lot stranger, more lucid, more curious than the way that he's espousing it as an academician and a researcher that imagines that by sitting X number of thousands of hours in a lifetime, you know, you're going to have a better chance at something. Everything is happening of its own nature, spontaneously appearing. You don't have an iota of will. I mean, forget about a thimbleful. You don't have a quark's worth.
What is that thing? I don't like bugs.
I know, I just saw something floating there.
Centipede.
Well, I'm sorry.
The poor little centipede.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
We thought this was like a Buddhist gathering.
Here's the Mahayana.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well.
I didn't want...
Amongst kings, some things live and some things die. When you're this big, little things underfoot don't have a chance.
Well, I don't like things like that. Mm-hmm. when you can't really see them and you just know that something's there and it's going to crawl up your...
crawl up your ear.
It's going to crawl up your...
That's how this feels about you. It cares as much about you as...
Yeah.
And that's actually a good thing.
Consciousness thinks you're going to crawl at its ear.
It doesn't care. It's not... Yeah. You can see how much you don't care. You know what I mean? It's like, if it's not you and you, it doesn't make you just like, I'll just kill it. Who cares, right?
Pretty much.
But you think, no, this cares about me. It's like, clearly, you know, if it's fractal and you see, like, the implication of, like, how much you don't care, if it doesn't have anything to do with you personally, then why would it care?
Best to use a miracle ball and a fresh cup of tea. Okay, so try again.
Refresh.
Yeah.
The centipede moment is gone. Refresh.
And you don't, it's not like you cling to anything. There's nothing to cling to.
Why do things seemingly, like, I'm not going to think about the centipede, I'm not going to think about the centipede, I'm thinking about the centipede, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, why do you get, like, seemingly obsessed with the thought of the centipede in my ear, the centipede, you know
what I
mean?
Yes.
Let that completely run wild, and then next thing you know, you're on meds and in the hospital.
It can be that fast. It can go that quick. Yeah.
Wow.
That's right. There I was, having a piece of popcorn, and somebody killed a centipede, and now I'm in the hospital. I don't even remember how I got here. Yeah. Well, this is the fun thing to see, is that the invitation for refresh is full. The embrace is complete. See, this way, the creation event doesn't snooker you into thinking that it's capable of creating something. That's why the obsession. You could trace all the obsession back to the imagination that creation creates something. But it doesn't and it can't. There's just creation.
Just unadorned, raw.
That's all there is. Yep. And that's saying, too much.
Constant.
Yeah.
I mean, that's change. That's constant, continuous change.
Yes. Right. Mm-hmm. This moment never happened before, will never happen again.
I want to remember.
I want to remember myself as I was. Yeah. But to get a taste of this is, you know, the more than halfway there, if not the whole way there. You get a taste of this, and what we call desire is not present. Desire is ameliorated. Craving is ameliorated. Explanation.
Unnecessary.
There's no becoming. Now, we're not talking about a psychiatric condition or something that is the result of spiritual practice. Thanks. We're not talking about a belief. Thank you. Or the denial of anything. I mean, what the fuck? You see, so all things so-called spiritual have to resolve to right here, this refresh. Because if something spiritual suggests that you would be better off someplace else, or would be better off with some other experience other than this one, it's got you. Ka-ching. Now you're lost again. In the hysteria of implication.
Cascading fractal implication that goes on forever.
Yeah. It's not that difficult to feel this, since that's where you launch from. All thought, all emotion, all sensation. Launch from the baseline of feelingness. That's it. That's always it. You know, you can see that it's breathing you. You're being breathed. You don't need a spiritual metaphor or a clever remark from someone else, or alive or deceased.
There is this feeling of clamoring, clawing, desperate ego trying to, or whatever you want to call it.
It's like, yeah, I know.
Me,
yeah.
Me,
I know.
Trying to get back.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it wants to get back in the game.
Yeah, I mean, really frantic.
Uh-huh. Yep. It's the same mindfulness you do on the cushion if you're practicing Vipassana or Zen or something Shinzen might suggest. Or even Gary Weber might suggest. You have this. So you feel it. See whether you're gifted with delight. Without content. Without a place you've come from. Or a place that you perhaps hope to get to. absolute simplicity. Cogent, not special. Freedom from self. Maybe that's why it's referred to as awake or realization or something like that. It's not like you found something new or have had a cathartic experience that requires a handful of postcards sent to close friends.
Tweet it like this.
You're allowed to tweet.
Always correcting us.
Hashtag enlightened.
Enough about you. What about you? What about me? Fuck you. I'm free. But you see how curious it is, because this notion we have of, let's say, freedom or liberation or some kind of accoutrement can only make sense if there's someone that you can pin the badge upon. Yeah. Right? Why go into a SIG meeting and make a big deal about not seeking anymore?
So it's more accurate to say I'm not liberated because there is no me.
You see how you see how ridiculously happy you are with it being nothing at all.
Yeah.
Why raise your hand? Ooh, you know, something happened to me. Did it? What could it have possibly been? If it was some kind of recognition, I would suggest, well, go back and try again.
It's so arbitrary, whatever we place, like, the specialness on. Like, you know, it's very obvious. Like, things are happening to you all nonstop.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
That's right. You know,
and.
Yeah, and. That's right. Yeah. Now, this, whatever this is or isn't, I mean, it's going to, you know, it'll grow on you.
I just wondered if they had to put a seal on it. It's a Buddha.
You turn the corner when.
LesserEvil.com.
What?
The website is LesserEvil.com.
LesserEvil. Wow. Cool.
Sorry.
What are you saying?
Well, that's my.
When you turn the corner on.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Just assuming you finish in that sense.
When you're no longer drunk with becoming, which means either wiggling towards something or wiggling away from something. Then it's just this simplicity.
It takes a certain level of maturity to let go of the wiggling.
Yes. That's why they're suffering, yeah. As an encouragement. Mm-hmm. But it's fun to, you could say, have all of that inertial force of getting to the bottom of this just evaporate.
At the same time, the inertial force to go to life and hold on to things that used to be of value starts to evaporate. Like,
oh, yes. Oh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Your touchstone is yourself at the beginning. It's not blatantly misleading to say, oh, I have fewer thoughts, or I don't have any thoughts. That's okay. But for that to become the principal fetish that punctuates your teaching is going to easily be misunderstood.
Yeah, if you go with the carnival, there's the bearded lady, and then there's the guy with no thoughts.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Hey, is that the guy with no thoughts? He has a beard, too. Yeah. You see how having no thoughts and then discussing that from the point of view of self and experience with others and, you know, tabula rasa and the smoothness of getting through your day, it becomes another distraction. Becomes another hook. Becomes another enviable condition that you want to set out in search of.
It's an arbitrary specialization in some sort.
Yes.
I mean,
absolutely.
I just see myself doing it all the time. It's like, you know, I don't tell people the shitty things when I have a fucked up dream. I don't want to tell anyone about that, but if I have a dream that I think is cool, I'm like, hey guys, look what happened to me.
Hey guys.
You know, it's totally arbitrary, though. It's like, whoa. You know, you really start to see how arbitrary all the bizarre distinctions that you make, special, not special, something happened, something didn't happen. It's like things are it's happening all the time.
There I was, snuggling with Jennifer Lawrence, and she turned into Jack Black.
Well, I don't know, but it occurs to me that going after no thought,
yeah,
as the goal is kind of, that's not a goal, really. I mean, you know,
nothing can be.
Right.
Any goal is way too much.
Maybe I'm wrong about this, but it seems like there's this presentation of no thought as being a goal, and it there's something deeper than that, and no thought may be comprehensive.
Yes. Right. So. Yeah.
There's the initial sort of calling or hooks, I guess, but after that I guess you get obsessed with all the hooks. You're
well, distracted. And I can tell you, I'm like so aware of all these hooks and all these things, and I mean, I'm like sort of a neurotic nutcase.
Well, that's the other T-shirt we're going to print.
If there's any value
and
in
pattern junkie / neurotic nutcase.
Seeing that.
Yeah.
You sit quiet often enough with this crazy thing,
and
that will be very obvious.
Yeah, that's pretty clear.
Yeah, so you can see that attention is hijacked by the disquietude and the quarrel that we have, with being a distractible nutcase. like banging one's head against the wall if it comes to that, because thinking will just not shut the fuck up. Yeah. Uh-huh. Right. Yeah. Our journey then is discovering something that's arising present in your experience, which is unhooked, unhookable, unfettered, unencumbered. Doesn't have a quarrel with anything. Doesn't resist anything. Huh. But you see, that's not non-resistance is not an accoutrement of self. It's the release of self. Right? Yeah. It's easy to get hung up in, God, what do I do about myself?
Yeah, as if it's some active principle that
yes, has to be that's right. Forth. That's right. You see, it's the myth that an active principle has actually come to visit you and has, you know, got you. Yeah. You're relaxing from the myth of the active principle. Yes. Uh-huh. Life is going to kill you sooner or later, most likely ungloriously.
Just be stepped on like a centipede.
If you're lucky, you'll arrive on a quilt in somebody's lap.
Yeah, right.
Long dead.
Probably not, yeah. This room is just full of really smelly cadavers, and no one's had the kindness to say, would you just move along in here? Smelling the place up. Get out.
You know, I had a kind of weird experience. I was in the Dominican Republic, and I whacked my head on the bottom of the ocean.
On the bottom of the ocean? Mm-hmm. What, did you dive in from a high place?
Yeah, that's pretty deep, man.
Yeah.
I hope you're really...
Of course, I was probably...
Sort of like a Mariana Trench, you know, how deep are we talking about?
I'm impressed.
And I sort of, like... Oh, no. I have this thought that... Damn... I don't know if it was like a dream or something.
Oh.
The person I was with was like, people were looking at me, well, like she died. And I don't know, I'm dead. I'm like still here, like hanging out with people. In fact, I'm still like hanging out with people. And everybody's like, oh, do you remember Lisa from when she used to be? Like,
guys, I'm still here.
I'm here. What kind of a therapy situation is that? That's like, whoa. You know what I mean?
I think so. I'd like to say yes. I know what you mean.
Yeah, something with a Bermuda Triangle or something.
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah, it was a Bermuda Triangle.
That was it.
The ganja down there. It's a little more powerful than you're used to.
Strange down there.
There's a vortex.
That's right.
I'm coming to find out I'm really dead. It was kind of a strange, it was like a weird experience. One of those.
Concussion, right?
I thought that maybe I did have, you know.
To suggest that you can make this comprehensible, that's a stretch.
We can find patterns, but then they kind of get weird. They don't pan out necessarily.
That's interesting to see, you know, in the midst of our so-called daily experience or what it is that we recall about our daily experience, or let's say the immediacy of present experience, there's nothing to grasp. There's nothing to hold on to. Nothing actually ever becomes anything. You're just hopping from lily pad to lily pad of implication. You don't get anywhere. There's no finality to the texture of experience itself. You're depressurizing. You could say having an ego is like having the bends.
Having the what?
The bends. If you come up, if you come up too fast underwater and your nitrogen and internal pressures are off, you can get disoriented and then start swimming down, thinking you're heading for the surface. That's when your oxygen runs out and someone says, "That fucker had a bad case of the bends." It's very tricky to feel the pressure to become, the pressure to accomplish, the pressure to arrive, the pressure to figure it out, the pressure to solve a problem, the pressure to become in fucking enlightened. And it's like, oh, God. It's like, it's an unrelenting pressure field.
It becomes second nature, so to speak.
Yes, it does. I mean, for the typical human, whatever that is, this unrelenting pressure field of the implication of time and becoming becomes second nature, or we,
which is a funny way of putting it,
habituate to it.
Well, being an independent, discreet, like disparate character creates an immediate pressure field of sorts, imaginarily. Because there's always something streaming in, coming to get you if you're outside of it. You know what I mean? It's constant.
Always something coming to get you.
You can't get away from it.
No.
You're just like trying to, you know, figure it out, run away.
But a lot of the you know, yogic tools, you could say, are used to medicate the disquietude or the discomfort of this pressure field.
Yeah, you can be a sanguine, disparate, discreet character. Oh, thanks. Great.
Yeah. So there's something to be said for just suffering. Not in the hysterical way that we often do, but that's fine too. Suffer the presence of this pressure field that seduces you into becoming. Like that, for instance, suffer it like that, yeah. You can laugh it off too. You
know.
That's a good idea. Yeah, this yoga is useless.
That's a popcorn quiz.
Yeah. You see, we tend to run away from a certain kind of root suffering by moving into distraction and then problem solving. Justification and exaggeration and problem solving. when it might turn out to be more useful just to drop into total yuck. Like, really? I mean, really? Oh, fuck. And, you know.
Really get a sense of it.
Just feel it out. Just feel the pressure field that is trying to suck you into a belief or a superstition or into becoming or that you should do something about something.
Morph so fast that you're like, oh.
It can. See, by when we try to run from the primal yuck, we just end up in, you know, one iteration after another of some kind of failed amelioration. She knows it. She knows it well. Yeah. Duh. Are you talking about me again? So, it might be fun just to... marvel at just how, you know, potent the primal urgency to become is. Like, oh, Jesus. Oh, fuck.
It pisses me off that the very thing that we're sort of trying to achieve is like the nothingness, and yet it's whipping back on you. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're trying to achieve nothingness, but you can't say it's something because that's worse than saying you're going in the fucking squirrel cage. You're on the wheel.
Yep. You know? You're on the wheel. Yes, that's right. You're on the wheel.
And you have to, I mean, I don't know who's listening to this stuff, but you have to wonder if some of these characters...
NSA, that's about it.
I'm screwed.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe... somebody somewhere had to decide to say something because...
You mean like Jesus?
Him.
Somebody somewhere.
Buddha.
Yeah. Didn't work out too well.
Kind of backfired.
Yeah, you find yourself hanging on the cross. Damn it, on that cross again.
Yeah, just start over. Just start over. Right here. Oh, yeah. Huh. I don't remember this ever happening before. Did this ever happen before? Excuse me. I don't remember this. Huh. Huh. This shit... This never happened before.
Wow, this is
brand new.
You already have Alzheimer's. You just start paying any fucking attention really? If you Good think that you don't have Alzheimer's. You're real good at tricking yourself into thinking that you don't have it. You know what's going on, and you can remember shit.
Yeah, I mean, all the studies they do, whoever they are, and whenever they're done, about the accuracy of memory, how they all come up like, you don't remember shit about shit.
Wasn't there one pretty recently? We were talking about it.
I mean, that was on that call the other night.
It's not that not that difficult to see that as you feel or consider your present experience, that it's appearing to you freshly. It's not the product of anything.
Well, one gets sort of wrapped in to the idea of a history and a memory and things that happened before, but one can easily get bored, you know.
Absolutely.
It's by going, letting the mind roll.
Yeah. No, I mean, part of the profile of hysteria includes, you know, boredom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, boy. So, you know, you could characterize, let's say, your more relaxed consciousness from the point of view of, let's say, you know, Gary Weber or whomever, talking about how things are working out more smoothly or effectively or efficiently or whatever in the rhythm of my so-called day or my so-called life. And you can see how that still is a gravitational field. It's still holding you to, you know, that your average day or what you get done in it or not done in it is somehow...
It's goal-oriented.
Again, it's like goal-oriented, and now your goals are happening more smoothly because without being suffering from thought, everything is spontaneously arising with less resistance and less confusion, right? There's more silence and there's more space and, you know... I can't wait to go grocery shopping. There might be, can we call them aspects or qualities of your most intimate experience that really has nothing at all to do with the cogency or programmability of your life. That's the transhuman perfume. How free do you want to be? Which of the apparent fields that define your existence or experience are you still loyal to? The body, the mind, the waking state, sleeping state, the grocery shopping, relationships with others.
Yeah, like if it comes down to just getting your taxes done early, that's kind of boring.
It can be a thrill, you know, the first time it happens, let's say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Agreeably, it's a little challenging to talk about or introduce, you know, a texture of transcendence to your present experience. Because our vocabulary is not all that well suited to it, right? Our vocabulary is typically suited to going and doing and becoming and measuring and comparing and putting grain away for a bad winter. So when we talk about the presence of unspeakable experience, you know, that's a little...
Well, that's the way it sort of seems. It's just like it's interpreted that way in some way, too, and because that's the way it's conditioned. Like, if I say me, you think I mean me.
Yeah.
But I could just say me and mean this whole entire experience as well. It's just the way that, you know what I mean? It's just agreed upon,
yeah,
the way that we're used to relating to each other, whatever we think. Oh, mm-hmm. When someone says me, they mean body.
Right. Yes.
Well, and I think a lot of times, you know, that's why it's real tempting to use Eastern words, you know, words, you know, from the Bhagavad Gita or Buddha or something like that. You know,
sure. Mm-hmm.
Because those concepts, the Indian concepts, you know, they seem to allow for it.
Uh-huh.
I think we need to study Sanskrit.
You know, I mean, we could all just agree that when we say me, it means this whole room. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's...
We could agree, but I'm sure people are going to start lying.
I know, it's just arbitrary. It doesn't really matter, you know? It's like...
That's right.
Well, I know, I've thought about that a lot about
you know, objectifying the body, saying this body and stuff like that, it seems really preposterous to actually do that.
It's pretty preposterous. Any questions?
Now that the delivery is...
We made a pretty good dent in this bag of popcorn.
I know, we killed it, didn't we?
No.
Sweet.
It was delicious.
Can't talk about it.
I thought I tasted something in there.
Pretend like that didn't happen.
Cooked in coconut oil.
Mm-hmm. It's vegan and organic and
coconut
all kinds
oil
of
and
things.
Himalayan sea salt. You can get it enlightened eating this fucking popcorn.
Anyone last call for dark chocolate? 88%. Too potent for most.
Well, I'll turn off the broadcast and then we can gossip about shit. Hey, everyone. Thanks for joining us, Stumpy Square.